Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been following the conversation that Jesus was having with the Samaritan woman by the well. And we'll continue with more on her conversation process as we find that Jesus wants to reveal his truth to those he comes into contact with. So let's follow along as we pick up in John chapter 4, verse 27, with "The fields are white for harvest," as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
We left off in our last study with Jesus telling this Samaritan woman that he met there at that well, telling her that he was the long-awaited Messiah. And let me just refresh your memory. Jesus had been journeying back toward Galilee, but needed to go through Samaria because this woman was there. And the Lord knew that there was that appointment with this woman who was, as you perhaps remember, a sinful woman, a woman who had been married 5 times and presently was just living with a guy. And Jesus came to the well of Jacob there, and his disciples went on into town to buy some food. And as he was sitting there because he was weary from his journey, this woman came to draw water. And the Lord said to her, "Give me a drink." And she was startled because he was a Jew. And Jews and Samaritans weren't on the best of terms, as we pointed out. And so she asked, "Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus responded, you remember, and said, "If you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who it was that was asking you for a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water." And then she went on to talk about that and basically say, "Give me this water." And that's when Jesus got right down to the heart of the issue. "Go call your husband." And then she confessed, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You're right." And he knew her situation. And she suddenly realized that she was not talking to a mere man. She said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And then she went on to talk about the Samaritans' belief that they were to worship there on Mount Gerizim, and the Jews worship in Jerusalem. She sort of pleaded that there was some religious confusion in her mind. And Jesus went on to tell her that there was a new day that had come, and God was not going to be worshiped in Gerizim or in Jerusalem any longer, because God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then she said, "Well, we know that the Messiah is going to come and he'll tell us everything." Jesus said, "I who speak to you, I am. I am the Messiah." Now, we pick up the story with Jesus having said that to her. But before we move on, the thing that I want to point out and the thing that we need to keep in mind is this woman was one of the simplest people of her time. She was just a simple woman. She was a sinful woman as well. And yet Jesus revealed to this simple, sinful woman deep spiritual truth. You see, God wants to reveal his truth to people. And sometimes we get caught up into thinking that, well, God probably couldn't reveal much to me because I'm just so simple. Or maybe because I'm just so sinful, or I've been so sinful. But you know what? The Lord delights in that. That's what he does. Jesus, at one point, he said this. He said, well, actually, he expressed praise to God. He said, I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things, these deep spiritual truths. You've hidden these from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them to babes. For even so, it seemed good in your sight. You see, man sees himself as sophisticated, culturally and intellectually refined. But that, of course, lends itself toward a prideful attitude, and God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God is in the business of revealing deep spiritual truth to simple people. Anyone, everyone who has an open heart, anyone that will listen. And we see that with this woman, and we're reminded of that. And I want to encourage you in that area. Don't think that the Lord doesn't have something to say to you. Don't think that you can't know the deep things of God, maybe because you see yourself as a simple person. You're the perfect candidate. You're the one that God wants to reveal himself to. Now, I'm sure that most of you listen probably fairly regularly to the radio, and you listen to the various Bible teachers, and you, I'm sure, are ministered to by them and blessed, and perhaps even at times you're marveling at their insight and their understanding and the depth, and you might be thinking that, wow, these guys are spiritual giants. They must be intellectually above most people. They must be so smart. But you know, the fact of the matter is, they're just ordinary men who have been seeking God. And God has been revealing himself to them. And that's what the Lord delights to do. He delights to bring those great truths and to bring them right down to anyone who has an open heart and who will receive it. So this woman, this simple, sinful woman, she gets the revelation that the religious leaders did not get. Jesus said, I am the Messiah. Now, in verse 27, we pick up the story. And at this point, his disciples came. You remember they had gone to buy some food in the village there. So they came back and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? Now, remember why they marveled. Because as we pointed out previously, the mentality of the rabbis was a very derogatory mentality toward women, to the point that they said that any man caught talking to a woman in public was in danger of judgment. And of course, these men, these disciples of Jesus, they had been brought up in this system, and the things that the rabbis taught would have trickled down to them. And so they would have just had this attitude that had developed. And suddenly there's Jesus, and he's speaking with a woman, and he's speaking not just with a woman, but with a Samaritan. And they're amazed. They must have been thinking in their mind, what is he doing? Doesn't he know? And of course he did know, but at this point they didn't really know exactly who he was. But they're marveling that he's speaking to her, but as John tells us, they don't really question him about it. But then at this point, the woman, she left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Now, remember, this woman had come to the well to draw water. We pointed out it was the middle of the day. And she probably came at that time because of her social circumstances. She was probably a bit of an outcast. But she comes for the specific purpose of drawing water. But she has this encounter with Jesus. And her life is so impacted. Notice that she leaves the water pot behind and she rushes back into town. She just sort of lost track of what she was even doing there, being so overwhelmed with the love of God and the goodness of God. And now she's got to go back and she's got to tell the people in her village about this man that she met, this man who told her everything that she had ever done. And that was her testimony. And so she came back to them and she said, "Come and see a man who told me all that I've ever done." The basic form of sharing one's faith is your personal testimony. You know, God wants us to share His love, His truth with other people. But sometimes we get all hung up, don't we? Where do I begin? What do I say? How do I get a conversation started? And that can be challenging. For some people, it comes quite naturally. You know, there are people who never meet a stranger. They can just walk up and start talking to anybody about anything. And the next thing you know, they're in a conversation with them about the Lord. I don't know about you, but that's not me. Things don't come that easily for me. And oftentimes when I'm in that situation, you know, where there's an opportunity arising in my heart, I'm just saying, "Oh Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to know how to, you know, step into this thing, this opportunity that's developing here." And God is faithful and He does do that. But one of the most powerful things that we have to share with other people is our own personal testimony. Sometimes we hold back. We think, "Oh, but, you know, I don't know that much. I haven't really studied. What if they ask me a question that I'm not able to answer?" And so sometimes we'll actually hold back for fear of that. And we think maybe because we haven't studied hard enough or we're not educated enough spiritually, we probably ought to just keep our mouth shut. But you know what? You have a testimony. God has done something in your life. And that is a powerful thing. And that's where this woman began her ministry, by just going back to the people and sharing her testimony and inviting people to come and see. "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did." That was pretty much the extent of her message. But it was powerful because, of course, Jesus had told her her life story and she'd never met him before. And so she knew that there was something divine about this person, and she rushed back and she wanted other people to have that same experience. The most basic and most effective form of evangelism is actually personal evangelism. You know, most people come to know Jesus Christ because another person tells them about the Lord, exemplifies the Christian life before them. Now, we have crusade evangelism, we have different kinds of outreach evangelisms, and there's all kinds of different strategies and programs that people have developed to reach out to masses of people or groups of people, and all of that stuff is good, and it all has its place. But there's nothing that can substitute for one-on-one evangelism. People just sharing the life of Jesus with other people. Your family members, your neighbors, your colleagues at work, people you get associated with through different means. You see, because when they hear your testimony and when they see your life and when you share God's word with them, all of those things are working together to bring about God's work in their lives. I think if all of us just went out throughout the week saying, "Lord, use me this week to share your love with somebody," I think we would see many, many people coming to faith. The problem is, though, We go out into the world, but a lot of times we go out silently. We don't say much. When an opportunity comes, we get intimidated and we miss it. We need to step out. We need to speak up. And we need to take that first step, though, of just preparation. That I'm going to go out today, Lord, and I'm going to be at work, or I'm going to be out in the neighborhood, or I'm going to be out in the community. And Lord, when I'm out here today, here I am. Bring about an opportunity. I believe there are lots of people out there that if just given the opportunity to hear about Christ, they would be open. But I think we make a false assumption. We think, oh, well, you know, we live in Southern California. Everybody's heard about Jesus here. Not true. Not so. Lots and lots of people that don't know about the Lord, especially they don't know the truth about the Lord. They might have heard his name. They might have some ideas. But generally, it's inaccurate information. And so as we go out and as we just say, Lord, here I am, use me, God is going to use us because that's what this whole thing is all about. You know the reason why we're still here on earth? One primary reason. So we can spread the gospel to other people and to the next generation. You might wonder, well, how come when a person becomes a Christian, God just doesn't, you know, take them up to heaven immediately? Because he's got work for us to do. And the great work is that work of spreading the gospel. And this woman who is a brand new believer, she's right there back in her community telling people, hey, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. And you know, sometimes it's just simply saying, hey, why don't you come to church with me? Or why don't you come down to the beach with me on June 10th? Or, you know, why don't you come to this thing with me? Just grabbing somebody and saying, hey, come along for this. Many people have come to the Lord through that type of thing. But personal evangelism. You know, when you look at the record in the early church recorded for us in the book of Acts, they didn't have any big planned events. They didn't do crusades or that sort of thing. It says that they just went everywhere telling people as they went about Jesus. Personal evangelism. God's way of spreading his word. And so, this woman went out, communicated that message to those back in the town, and then they went out of the city and they came to him. Now, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Wow. Remember, they were wearied from the journey and they were hungry. And they went into town to buy some food and they come back and they say, Lord, here, eat. Jesus says, oh no, I've got food that you don't know about. And like any of us would have done, they were looking at each other saying, who brought him food? Where did he get food? But Jesus is talking about something different. He's talking about something more important than feeding the body. He's talking about the life of the spirit. And he says, my food, or that which sustains me, that which nourishes me, that which brings me satisfaction is doing the will of him who sent me and finishing his work. That's an attitude that it would be wonderful if we all had. You know, that everything else is just sort of take it or leave it. If I've got to eat, yeah, I'll eat. But that's not what it's all about. That's not what I'm taken up with. And so often what happens to us is we just get distracted. You know, we get sucked up into all of these things that They're not about the will of God. They're not about finishing His work. They're just about meaningless kinds of things. How many people, and I'm talking about Christian people, how many people in the church are all caught up in trying to get things, trying to get more money, trying to get a greater position? And, you know, instead of being concerned with that work of God, they're preoccupied with trying to get stuff. And it just struck me. Jesus owns everything. He's the heir of all things, everything. And here's the world of men. They just are in this striving mode, and it's all about trying to get things. It's all about trying to get position. It's all about trying to get power. It's all about trying to get possessions. Jesus owns everything, and guess what? He's going to give it to His followers in the end. So don't strive to get it now. Wait. He's going to give it to you ultimately anyway. And you see, the whole point is that while everybody else in the world, that's what they're preoccupied with, we're not to be concerned with that because it's all ours anyway. And it's ultimately going to be given to us in the future. We are to be concerned with and taken up with the things of the kingdom here and now, not worrying about those things, but having that same attitude. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me. And of course, it was in this particular instance, it was bringing the truth and the life of God to this woman. But now listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Now, evidently, there was a saying, and of course, this is an agricultural society, and so people would have been very familiar with farming, with planting the seeds, and ultimately with harvesting the crops and things of that nature. And of course, the Lord used those things to illustrate spiritual realities. And so they had a saying, 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Jesus isn't talking about a harvest of fruit or vegetables at this point. He's talking about a harvest of souls. And I would imagine that as He said this, probably looking in the distance, there was that crowd of people coming out of the town with the woman coming to hear what He had to say. And here's this crowd coming toward Jesus. And He says, look, lift up your eyes. The fields are already white for harvest. In another place, Jesus said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into His harvest. As I said a moment ago, what things are really about in this present age, they're really about a harvest. It's about reaping. It's about gathering in souls into the kingdom. That is our primary purpose for being here. And we have got to get that into our thinking process. That's not just what the pastor is to do, or the evangelist is to do, or the missionary is to do. It's what we're all to be involved in, this great harvest that God is bringing in. And He has us scattered and situated in all kinds of different places. You know, I believe that we all ought to think in terms of missions. Not necessarily meaning that you have to pack your bags and head off to another country, but that when you step out your door in the morning and go out into the world, you are going out into the mission field. Most of the people around you are not believers. So what does that tell you? It tells you you're a missionary. That's your mission field. It's the people that God has placed you amongst. That's the attitude that we as believers need to adopt. Jesus said the fields are white. The fields are white for harvest.
We'll continue with more on the topic of harvesting for the Lord in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues to guide us through the Gospel of John. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message or would like to order a copy for a friend or a loved one, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, The Fields Are White for Harvest. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3229. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.